On this episode of the Edge Podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Kim Pope, Chief Operating Officer at Wilson HCG. With a competitive and hardworking spirit that stems from her experience as a Division I athlete, Kim continues to win in the staffing industry. Kim and Leslie discuss the tremendous growth she's been a part of at Wilson and how she's taken the company into new markets across the globe. In addition, Kim shares how she balances work and family, what's next for Wilson, and the best piece of advice she would give her younger self. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing. And it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Kim Pope, the Chief Operating Officer with Wilson HCG, to our podcast, The Edge. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Thanks for having me. Super excited for the conversation today.
Of course. It was really fun to prep for this. Like I mentioned to you before, we've known each other for quite a few years. But in hosting these, I really get to know people. So I'm excited to share your story with all of our listeners today.
Great.
And with that, yeah. So Kim, it's not surprising that to be successful in our industry, you need to be competitive. And it did actually rank in my top 5 Strengths Finders results, and it comes up on many of our podcasts. But it isn't often that we have a Division I athlete, and in your case, a field hockey player as a guest. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a fun fact I got to learn about you. As I mentioned to you, I have a niece who's a Division I swimmer, and I know firsthand just watching her grow up over the years, the drive in determination and competitive nature. Mm-hmm. It took her from a really young age to make it. Those characteristics mm-hmm. obviously really transcend well into the workplace. And you said, based on your competitive nature and personality, the staffing industry was perfect for you. And based on your success, yeah. I'd have to agree. Yeah. So with that, I want to talk about your journey. So let's talk about your beginnings at Wilson HCG. So I'll give a little bit of background just for those of you who may not know Kim very well. You were out of college for 4 years before joining Wilson HCG, and you mentioned Aerotech, which is where you actually started in sales, as having one of the best entry-level training programs and how it really helped set you up for success. You started with Wilson, this is crazy, when there were only 30 people. Now you're sitting right over 1,000. You've, over the years, you've held 5 to 6 roles over the past 10 years. An impressive start. You actually, this is incredible to me. You joined, dug in right away, leading an expansion in Canada from scratch in just 6 months from when you started. You also mm-hmm. helped launch Europe and spent a year there, immersing yourself in the business and culture to ensure its success. And in Asia, you're helping to take the lead on the integration front as well. You really credit hiring the right people and just clicking to some of your mm-hmm. success, kind of signing bigger and bigger deals over the years. I loved your story about the office when you first started, and you just kind of said, you know, we're just normal people having a conversation about how they can help a business.
Yep.
So I guess I'll ask you, Kim, first of all, it's hard to believe. So what stands out most to you, I guess, is why it just clicked for you. I mean, stepping in and opening a Canadian operation isn't something everyone can say they've done, especially so early in their career. And second mm-hmm. piece to that is just, I know you're really close to the founder and CEO, John Wilson. So what was it about mm-hmm. his leadership style that kind of felt like set the culture up for great success?
Wow. Thank you for all that, because it sounds so cool to hear you kind of go through it. It makes me think back when I first started at Wilson, and one of the reasons why I joined was meeting John, our founder, and really him talking about the philosophy of always putting people first in growing a business with that philosophy and always doing the right thing versus trying to focus just on growth and revenue. That really stuck with me since day one. Even when we were smaller, never would have I have been imagined that, you know, we'd be a global organization as we are today. But it really makes sense to me now, hearing you kind of replay all that it was set on the foundation of all the people. And that's why I joined the organization, was because when I met John, our founder, I just knew that culturally, that was a leader that I wanted to follow. And then what I learned from that experience, and especially going through all these growth initiatives and really learning and also going through the challenges, was that he's always supported me to be able to fail forward. So I'm never afraid to fail, because I know what I'm going to do is learn from that and then continue to share those experiences with all the people around me. So I think now hearing you tell all that story kind of put it into perspective for me, that that's really how it all began. And it still is that way. And that's one of the things that we really focus on as we go through that global growth, is you never lose that, you know, really cultural focus on people versus anything else.
It's interesting when you mentioned John being a leader I wanted to follow. I was just talking to someone I helped mentor this week, and she really felt like early in her career as well. And she said, you know, I just don't have anyone in the company I can see as a leader. So that's one of the pieces of advice I always give, is like when you're interviewing or looking at a new company, can you get behind or side by side with that leader? And that sounds like that was so important to you as well when you first joined Wilson HVG. Yeah. And the fact that giving that permission to fail forward is another big opportunity. So, and that's something that obviously you've taken as you've grown as a leader as well in your role, and now managing so many functions and people, I bet you've carried that forward for your teams as well.
Yeah, helping others have that confidence, because it takes a bit to go through those experiences, and sharing those experiences with others so they can have that same confidence and be able to do it is really what inspires me now and what I focus a lot of my position on today.
That's great. It's not many leaders start that way in their career. So it's nice that you were able to have that from the very, very beginning, and then to give that gift to others. So share with us a little bit about what's next for Wilson HCG. I know I've known you over the years on the RPO front, but it sounds like you've really evolved. So not only on the geographies you've served and becoming, you know, such a global player, but also the solutions you offer. I believe when we were prepping, you said something like, what's next? Global domination. So tell us a little bit about what that means and what's next for your company.
Well, and to clarify, the global domination is because we have so many clients that just really want us to have that one Wilson cultural feel wherever we're located in the world, and really be able to help them with all of the solutions that we do provide, but still have a tailored approach per market, which obviously you need to, and really having people on the ground that can support, but it still feels like one Wilson across the organization. So for us, that's really the focus, is to continue to support our clients in multiple ways, not just RPO, but really growing more as total talent. We call it talent period at Wilson. And it's focusing on really listening to what a customer needs and the challenges that they might be facing at that time, and then designing around that, whether it is focusing on perm hiring or contract hiring or executive search or consulting services, or even we do a lot of technology consulting and implementations. There's so many different facets now within talent acquisition and talent management that organizations really need to focus on helping. And so that's really our true goal, and what's next is to continue to be more of that holistic talent period focused conversation. And then it's just continuing to listen to our clients. That's really what's next, and how they evolve, because talent acquisition changes at the drop of a hat all the time. And so we have to be agile in that approach and continue to change with them.
Yeah, I would agree. It seems like, and then there's a lot of different, you know, buzzwords or things going around about total talent management and total workforce solutions and different things. So I like your approach of really thinking first and foremost about what does the client actually need from us. And fortunately, you've built such a strong reputation as a company. What you're finding is that they're willing to acquire talent in the way that makes most sense to their business from you because of that trust and reputation and the way you deliver. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yep, exactly.
Well, one thing I've noticed, and I'm really curious to hear your view on this, especially going from, what was it, 30 people when you started to 1,000 now, is that it's really hard for companies. They struggle time after time with the ability to hire for scale without compromising culture and quality. And I know of other companies who have said, and one leader I really respect in the industry, Jay Cohen with Signature, actually, who will say, I won't compromise culture for growth. Like the culture is way more important than anything else. And you mentioned within your own company, you have what you call the Wilson persona, and it's focused on creativity, flexibility, and agility, and really having that growth mindset, which sounds simple to say growth mindset, but I will tell you there's a huge difference when you know you're working with a company and people who have that growth mindset. So maybe you can share kind of what drove to creating that persona and lessons you've learned along the way, just to make sure you knew you weren't compromising when hiring for that speed and growth.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. We took a step back as we were growing as an organization to really define what is our Wilson DNA. And it started there. And that's the core of everything that we do as we looked at some of those attributes. And, you know, our Wilson core DNA is how we hire, how we train, how we develop. And a lot of the key areas within that are things like collaboration, ownership, passion, integrity, communication. You know, those are things that we just ingrain in what we do and hire. And then as we realize, as we're such a growing business, that we really also need to hire individuals that have that potential, that we can, as long as they have that core DNA and those core ability to be flexible and have that growth mindset, we can train and develop and continue to give them the platform to grow their careers and evolve into the types of roles as well that we may need in the future, which has given us a very great, and myself included, is a really good example. You know, I've had 5 or 6 different roles within the company. There's so many growth opportunities that where we can have our talent be able to have multiple careers within one organization is what also helps us make sure that we've got those right DNA characteristics within the organization, because everybody's been able to contribute to that together. It's very hard to also make sure, but we're very diligent at the front of the process. This one that we just finished in Asia, we've been partnering and working with them for almost 2+ years. And it took us that long really to that point. And you could just tell the cultural synergies were there to, you know, really make sure that it aligned with our Wilson DNA, because they had very similar characteristics in their own DNA as well. So we know that it's going to be the right fit for us within, you know, our employees. That's the most important thing, is just being patient, but making sure that you continue to really live by those in everything that you do, from hiring and training.
Yeah, it can really impact a company in a negative way when you hire for a sense of urgency instead of hiring the right person. I know we've experienced that as well as you grow. Yeah. And you know what you learn? We always say, if you're not learning, you're not growing. And we've grown a lot from those learning experiences on on hiring over the years. And it's just so critical to your point. And I love, I guess, 2 things that stand out to me in what you said. One, which they kind of tie together, is really that patience piece and being patient, especially when you think of acquisitions and partnerships, because 2.5 years, looking at that, if you can imagine, that I don't believe that seems to be the norm, where people really want to make those transactions really fast, but a lot of them just don't work out. So it's great that you found a partner who was willing to also be patient, which I would guess was part of what attracted you to that partnership as well, that you were on the same page with that. So that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Kim, I learned a lot about you on our prep. Not only did I learn you were a Division I athlete, which I always dreamed I would be an athlete in college, did not happen for me. But that said, what a lot of people may not know is that your husband is a professional baseball player who you credit to being beyond supportive of your career. And something we talked about, you mentioned having him on the road a lot, it kind of helped and hurt. So it helped you be very dedicated to your career. You were able to excel earlier than most your age, because it really afforded you that flexibility schedule-wise. So while he was traveling or on the road, it's great because you can be like, well, so am I. So this is good. There's no conflict. You've forgiven me. And in fact, you said when you first walked into John's office, you noticed a baseball bat on his back wall. And right away knew that there was this common ground for you, and that he knew your situation and that you'd need flexibility. But looking back, you mentioned it also hurt because some years you were both so busy with careers that somewhat put your family on hold. And I'll try to hold back my emotions right now because this is such a special time for you. And I remember my husband's not a professional athlete, but we waited quite a while to start our family as well. And that said, I think you have some pretty big news to share. Your husband landed a coaching spot with Miami, which was in Tampa and less travel. And less it is allowing travel. You both to focus on your family. Yeah. So any news you'd like to share on that front?
It was so funny when we were going through this and talking about it. I haven't taken the time to really reflect on what that journey has done in my career. So I really appreciated that conversation, because it did make me realize that, you know, while going through all those different phases, my husband's going through phases as well. And for him, you know, he took a step back last year in his career, actually, to, you know, really be able to spend more time at home and be able to start a family. So yeah, I am really excited to announce that I am pregnant. And, you know, we are going through that journey within our family. But then it also, you know, that step back then allowed him to actually take three steps forward in his next step in his career, which is closer to home and also a really great opportunity for him. So I always think it's a really good message, especially for, I talk to my little sister about this all the time because she's still very early in her career. And you really have to think about your career as it's not a straight ladder up. You know, there's multiple zigzags that you take to really get where you're meant to be. And, you know, my husband's career is a really good example of that, is just, you know, patience and really making sure that your values and priorities are in the right spot. And good things always happen when you work hard and just trust that process. And so I'm super excited for him, and I'm excited for us as well because of this exciting news. And it's just really good timing because over the years, I've got an amazing team. Like, I wouldn't be able to do what I do without my team. And this is a really good point for me because they are just, you know, they've stepped up and they're in such a good spot. So I feel like I've got the support that I need as well to go through this journey on my side. So it's just all in all, really, 2020 is going to be a really good and exciting year.
I would say so. And congratulations to your husband on, I guess, both the new job, which sounds phenomenal, as well as just the fact that you're expecting.
Thank you.
So happy.
Thank you.
So we started talking after that, and I felt like we could have chatted for hours just on kind of going down that subject. And one of the things we talked about was the biggest piece of feedback I got when people found out I was pregnant was that I was now relatable. And I didn't really understand what they meant at the time, but now having a 3-year-old, I completely get it. And I love that I have so much to learn from other working parents. It's really an area of growth for me. So it's something that, like you, my team had come to me, and it was a gift that they had risen up and were able to give me even more flexibility to be a mom CEO. But I ask questions all the time. And I have to say, I can't lie, I was scared to death. There are a lot of statistics too. I mean, it was, I remember my mom being like, do you need me to come? She's in Michigan. Do you need me to drive to Chicago right now? When I told her, because I was so nervous on what was going to happen. But there are a lot of statistics about women, Kim, who have children earlier in their career, not moving up the ladder as quickly and taking a pretty significant pay cut. And I can really see how it happens based on some of the mentoring work I do. But I'm also a firm believer that we make choices that are right for our families and may not be right for everyone, but we have to make those choices. So the thought of my life changing when I didn't expect it threw me for a curve, and Grayson ended up being the best gift I never knew I wanted. And now it's your time to focus on family and quite frankly, give hope and be a role model to other working parents who want to have it all and have the type of career you have and be a parent and be in a loving, you know, relationship and so forth. So, all right, Kim, no pressure, but tell us, what are your hopes, dreams, and even fears for your next stage of being a working mom?
Ooh, I'm very realistic in this. So I've had a lot of good advice from a lot of my team members that have children today. So I've been really leaning on them as my mentors around this. So I've had a lot of really good advice. And I think for me, the biggest thing is just to not be so hard on myself, because I know it's going to be a journey of just really being able to get used to, as well as how do I, you know, kind of really juggle and alter my life, which I'm super excited about. So I think for me, it's just learning to where those people are that you can lean on to be able to give you some of that advice throughout the process. I'm just very realistic, knowing that, you know, it is a very hard thing to balance everything, but you can do it. You just have to make sure you've got the right people around you to really help you and help your sanity through it. So I'm very realistic. But yeah, I mean, all the things you mentioned are things that go through my head and also my colleagues' heads and, you know, in the working world. And I think it really comes down to just having those mentors that you can really lean on to help you through that, because it's natural, it's normal. And you know, it's also very exciting. So I'm just, you know, really looking forward to it, but very realistic.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to watch you through this journey and be there however I can help. And I know there's so many people in our industry who would love to jump in and help you. There's no shortage of support when it comes to that. And I know I have been known to stand on stage and be interviewing someone and just start crying out of nowhere because of life balance and me being gone from Grayson for like 5 days in a row. Yeah. And, you know, just things that you learn and kind of recover. And like I said earlier, just keep growing from and know you'll be stronger and your family will as well. So it's all good things. I'm so happy for you. Again, congratulations.
Thank you. And you are right. We do have such a great industry of colleagues in staffing and RPO. Like, it just really is such a good group of people that are so just open, you know, with each other, which is why I think I love it. And it's why I continue to stay in it.
Indeed, we do. I have learned that quite a bit over the last few years in particular. So speaking of the last few years, so we often ask question, as you look back on your career, what advice would you give your younger self? You have 15 years behind you and a lifetime ahead of you. So you've got a lot of time left in this career of yours, Kim. So when you reflect back on your career, I'm going to flip the question a little bit. What lessons will you take forward and remind yourself, especially as you do explore this new role in life?
Yeah, I wish I had somebody to tell me not to take myself so seriously when I was so young and put so much pressure on myself to try to be so many things at such a young age. It's a journey, not a sprint. It's so easy to say that to yourself, but it's very hard when you're in the middle of it and going through it to just take a step back and enjoy that journey at certain pieces. And I wish I would have spent a little bit more time doing that. So I always tell, you know, I have two younger siblings. I try to coach them every day on this. And the more I think they hear it from me, maybe they start getting it. But that's really, for me, the biggest thing is just not taking it so seriously.
And that's great advice. We recently had Teresa Carroll on our podcast, and she had recommended this book, How Women Rise. And actually, the author will be speaking at Executive Forum when this podcast will probably go live. And they talk about the perfection trap, and there's different qualities that we all fall into and see kind of in ourselves. And I'm so happy she mentioned the book, and she should earn some commission from them, because I know a ton of people who have bought it since then. But there's just so many things like that where taking yourself seriously, the perfection trap, just that we need to work on. And it's great that, again, even with your siblings or those people who surround you and are starting out in their career, I feel like we're at a different place today with mentoring and coaching and leading and guiding those people who are rising up with that next generation, where we just start giving a little bit more, I feel like, to people. There's a great opportunity for you to do that with those on your team and in our industry. So speaking of books and so forth, I noticed you're a Forbes contributor. When you think about books or speakers or anything that have contributed to your success, keynotes you've listened to, were there any statements or stories that stood out the most that kind of helped influence the leader you are today?
That's a great question. There's so many. But most recently, this one I think most recently resonates with me just because of what's going on. You know, we have a economic global climate of so many things that are happening, like up and down, up and down. And I just recently read the book by Bob Iger, you know, his most recent story just about his journey as being the CEO of Disney. And one of the things that he talks about is just how he sees crises as puzzle pieces. And he never calls them crises, because they're always something that you can find a piece to find a solution to solve. And just recently, that's really resonated with me because of just all of the different moving parts that we have going on globally, and, you know, just the things that are happening, that it's just the mindset, right? Because you turn on the news and it's always something negative here, negative there. But it's just changing the mindset of looking at those things as puzzle pieces versus, you know, a negative, and using a term crisis that makes it seem negative. And that just has really impacted, I think, me since I finished it, that I've just been also using as well to coach my team, and just as we think through different, you know, things that we go through and face. So it's really good.
I think we need to start a book club with all of these wonderful book recommendations and ideas.
Yeah.
Because yeah. that is so smart, just the puzzle pieces of fitting things together. I love having people come to me with something and being able to solve that challenge, and visually thinking of it that way is interesting. So someone else just mentioned that same exact book to me, so I'm going to have to grab it and check it out. Thank you for sharing that. So, all right, Kim, in closing, one quick question for you, although the answer may not be quick because it's an important one. Let's see. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? And then how did you apply that to your personal and professional life?
Well, I played sports, obviously, as you know, growing up. And one of the things I was always, you know, we always just ingrained in what we knew and how we prepared, you know, we were always prepared, practice, games, et cetera. But it was always the harder you work, the luckier you get. And that just was something that I learned at a very young age. That it just, if you put in the work, you do the right thing, and you know, you always feel like every day, you know, you did everything that you can do, it always works out. And so that is just how I live every day, and my values. And so far it's been very successful and rewarding for me. And that's now just what I try to teach my team.
I wish everyone an ounce of your positivity in their lives, because you are just so generous and kind, and your hard work has definitely paid off. And the journey that I read earlier, it is a true testament to who you are as a person, being a hard worker, and also finding such a great leader in John Wilson to help guide along the way. And what I love about that is when you see the two of you together and, you know, watch you work together, it's just like your partners side by side on this journey. And I see the company and where you've gone. And I would agree, the harder you work, the luckier you got. So congratulations of your success and where Wilson HCG is headed. And on this journey of yours, just really happy for you and your husband. And I bet people are going to be reaching out, and I apologize for who knows what now that they know he's in baseball. So you may get some fans trying to reach out for some favors. Apologies in advance. And either way, I look forward to seeing you soon and just really appreciate you joining us. And for those who do want to get in touch with you, what is the best method for outreach?
Oh, yeah. People can reach out to me anytime, phone, email, text message, LinkedIn, whatever it is. I'm always available. And I totally welcome that. I love meeting new people. So thank you. And thank you again for having me. It was such a great conversation. I just really appreciated it. And also just all you do for the industry. So thank you, Leslie.
Oh, thank you, Kim. That's so nice of you to say. I do appreciate it. I feel like one of the luckiest people in our industry, very fortunate and thankful, grateful for being able to meet so many wonderful executives and leaders and women in our space. So it's a gift for me. All right, Kim, that is it. We're going to end it. I could talk to you forever, but we've got to say goodbye. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate you joining us on The Edge.
Sounds good. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.